ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் பவர்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஸ்பைன், தி ஃபைன் ஆர்ட் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன், ப்ரெசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Bridging with Shiva, Lesson 258, Finding Your Guru. I am often asked, when one feels it's time to travel the spiritual path, do you recommend he aggressively seek a guru or passively wait and see what happens? When one is ready to swim, he should, again, when one is ready to, again, when one is ready to swim, should he walk around the swimming pool? Or should he dive in and get on with it? Naturally, he should dive in and take each thing that comes along in a very positive way. That's the thing to do. Otherwise, in waiting and putting it into the intellectual mind, all the different doubts come up and make a big fog, which again, he has to live through. He missed his timing. A guru-disciple relationship is so central in Hinduism. A guru is a helper on the spiritual path. Again, a guru is a helper on the inner path. Visualize a rocky stream path leading up a high mountain. A guru is there to help you over some... Again... The guru is there, again, the guru is there to help you over some of the big boulders and through the swamps, and to send out a scout to help you back on the inner path if you, again, on the inner path if you become externalized. You don't need a guru, again, you don't need a sadguru all the time. Most of it you have to do yourself, after you've had his grace and learned the rules. But he's there. When you need him inwardly, he is just there. And that is reassuring. Do everything that you possibly can for your guru. The guru is like the wind. You may not always have him as close to you. So throw yourself into his work selflessly. He has a mission that came to him from his guru and from, again, he has a mission that came to him from his guru and his guru's guru. It is your mission in this life too, realization of the self God within and helping others do the same.
Can we do that again? We kind of missed the from realization.
Okay, again, it is your mission in this life too, realization of the self God within and helping others do the same. I have been asked many times, how does one choose a guru? Well, if you are in a crowd of people and you hadn't seen your mother and father for 5 or 10 years, you would immediately know them. You could pick them out of a large crowd. You'd immediately know, not necessarily by how they looked, but by the vibration, you'd immediately know. And so, it is within the guru. Again, and so, it is with the guru. There are, shall we say, commercial gurus. Pick a guru, here a guru, there a guru in the classical sense of the word. Again, a guru in the classical sense of the word doesn't have a great many devotees. He might have a lot of people who think he is really great, especially if he chants well, or if he does something that's outstanding.
Or does something. No, especially.
Again, if he chants well, or does, again,
especially.
okay, again, starting from he might have a lot of people who really think, again, he might have a lot of people who think he's really great, especially if he chants well or does something that is outstanding. It's easy to get a lot of followers. Traditionally, a guru can only take a few close disciples, and he generally does. If you're looking for a guru, try to feel his vibration. Better still, talk to his students and see if they've had, again, better still, talk to his students to see if they've had any substance, again, yeah. Better still, talk to his students to see if they have any substance. Ask them, have you had any inner experience? If they start talking about everything, telling you all about it, or trying to convert you, be cautious. On the other hand, if they look content within themselves and test you out a little to see if you are sincere, again, to see if you are sincere, you know that they're taught to be wise. Look at the students. See how they interact among themselves. Observe closely what they do. Note how disciplined they are. Again, note how well disciplined they are. In this way, you get to know the caliber of the man who is their Satguru. Find out who his guru is and where the line of darshan power comes from. Then you get to know, to really know. Don't be too hasty in picking your guru. That is the best advice. Maybe it's not for you in this life to have a guru. Maybe next life, or the next life after that. Again, maybe next life, or the life after that. There's no hurry. And yet there is a great sense of urgency on the spiritual path, a great sense of urgency. Don't go hunting for a guru. Just be alert enough to know when you encounter him. How does one know whether an inner experience is real or imaginary? Well, we don't have to go very far in answering that question, because everyone has inner experiences. Two people are in love. They fight. They separate. That's an inner experience. And it's real, isn't it? That emotion, that tearing apart, those wonderful mental arguments where nobody quite wins, they're all real. Even such an argument is an inner experience, but more of an, but of a more externalized, instinctive, intellectual, or gross nature. Yet, it's very real. It shakes the muscles. It can even make us perspire. It lives within us. It could keep us awake at night, or give us disturbing dreams. It's a real and a vital experience. We have to go through these grosser inner experiences first before our inner life becomes more refined. They are just as real, seeing light within the body. Again, they are just as real, seeing light within the body, light within the head, and hearing the inner sounds. All of the things you have read about come to you after you have gone through the inner experiences. All of the things you have read about come to you after you have gone through the inner experiences of the instinctive and intellectual mind. First, we go through our inner instinctive experiences. First, we go through our inner instinctive experiences. Then our intellectual experiences, then our intuitive or creative experiences. Finally, we come to the self, which we realize is the totality of all inner experiences. Being beyond experience itself. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, lesson 259, going into meditation. The refined inner energy that you experience in your deepest meditations is always there, was always there, and shall always be there. It's just there. You don't have to call upon it. It's just there. Just be aware that you are it. And not that you are any other of the many other types of things that you can be. Just be that intangible, tangible energy. And don't be the emotions that you feel. Don't be thoughts that you think. Don't be the stomach that's hungry. Don't be the body that's moving. Don't be the place that you're going to. Just be that energy. Then you can do anything in the external world and really enjoy life. Here are some of the basic signposts for successful meditation. Remember them and do them slowly on your own. First, sit up, nice and straight, with the spine erect and the head balanced at the top of the spine. Proper posture is necessary because the very simple act of equalizing the weight and having it held up by the spine causes you to lose body consciousness. Just the equalizing of your weight can do that. Breathe deeply and rhythmically. Feel the energies of the body begin to flow harmoniously through the body. Now, try to feel the warmth of the body. Simply feel the warmth of the body. Once you can sense physical warmth, try to feel the totality of the nerve system at one time. All of the 5 or 6 thousand miles of nerve currents, it's simple. Feel it all at one time and grasp that intuitively. Now, this nerve current is being energized from one central source, and we're going to find that source. It's in the central core of the spine. Feel that energy flowing through the spine and out through the nerve system, which finally causes warmth in the physical body, which you've already felt. But now don't feel the warmth of the body, don't feel the nerve system, feel only the power of the spine. Once you have done this, you are ready to meditate. You're alive in your body. You look alive. You look vital. Your face is beginning to glow. Next, simply sit in a state of pure consciousness. Be aware of being aware. Don't be aware of a second thing. Simply be aware that you are aware. A totality of dynamic, scintillating awareness. Vibrant, right in the central source of energy. It's closer to what you really are than your name, than your intellectual education, than your emotional behavior, or the physical body itself which you only inhabit. From this point, in your own personal meditation, you can take off and travel in many different directions. If your guru has given you a mantra, for instance, contemplate on the inner vibration of the mantra. Chant it to yourself, or follow whatever inner instructions he has given you. Coming out of meditation, we perform this process in reverse. Again, feel the power of the spine, and let that power flow right out through the nerve system, energizing the miles and miles of nerve currents. Feel your nerve system coming to life. Feel the warmth of the body as we come back into physical consciousness. Finally, open your eyes and view the external world around you and compare it to the internal world that you very rapidly just touched into in your meditation. It's easy to remember this entrance and exit to meditation. Do it often. get to know the energy flows of the body. Live in the pure energy of the spine. Lean on no one. If you must lean on something, make it your own spine. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 261, The Spine's Central Energy. Once in either current for a long time, it is difficult to flow awareness out of it. There are some people who are predominantly Pingala, aggressive in nature, and strong in their human elements in that area. There are some people who are predominantly Ida, human, physical, and earthy, and full of feeling. And there are some who switch from one to the other. These are the more rounded and well-adjusted type of people who can move awareness through the Pingala current and through the Ida current and adjust the energies almost at will. We have still another basic strong current that you should know about. It is called Sushumna. Within this massive current are 14 other smaller currents which govern the instinctive, intellectual, conscious, subconscious, sub of the subconscious, sub-superconscious, and superconscious areas of the mind. The Ida and the Pingala are two of these 14. So this leaves 12 more within the Sushumna. When we begin a religious pilgrimage or a retreat into sadhana and we want awareness to dive deep within, we have to withdraw the energy of the vibrating Ida and the vibrating Pingala current into Sushumna. This is quite a chore because these currents have had energy flowing in them for a number of years. So, to rechannel that energy is to rechannel the entire circumference of awareness into the Sushumna current. This takes a lot of practice. Breathing, of course, is a major function of control here. Hatha yoga is a major function too. Sitting in the lotus position conquers a great deal of the Ida current. The practice of concentration and observation conquer a great deal of the Pingala current. Some good solid study that disciplines awareness, such as the study of math, music, or a skill, moves awareness into the Pingala and helps balance these two currents. Then the next step is to bring awareness into the Sushumna. This is the path. However, if awareness is flowing through the Pingala current already and is extremely aggressive, that means the entire nature of the individual is extremely aggressive, intellectual, and it is extremely difficult for him to withdraw those energies into the Sushumna current. Why? Because he will argue within himself mentally and reason himself out of it. He will simply go to another book or have a different intellectual look at it, or go to another teacher, or watch television instead, or go to another lecture. He will never quite get around to bringing in this aggressive Pingala energy from the intellect back to its source, Sushumna, so that he can go within and experience superconscious realms of the inner mind consciously. These two forces, the Ida and the Pingala, are the big challenges. They are what make a person human, in the popular sense of the word. It is the degree of energy that flows through the area of the Ida and Pingala that forms one's nature, his actions, reactions, and responses. The areas of his external personality are governed by these two currents. Om Namah Shivaya.